Hi, I'm Miranda.
And I'm Stephanie.
We've been friends for more than 15 years.
I live in Ottawa.
And I live in Winnipeg.
I'm raising two girls.
And I'm raising two boys.
We're both wives and working moms who do our best to make it all work and to enjoy our empowered lives.
We think feminism is still a work in progress in our homes, our workplaces, and our politics.
And we love to learn, especially from other women.
So we started Women Don't Do That, to talk about issues women care about today and to inspire us to do whatever it is we think we can't do. Tanya Duchon founded Steep Tea in 2006 and went on to grow her company into an international success. In 2016, Chatelaine named her the number one female entrepreneur in Canada. Today, her Hamilton-based direct sales company is one of the fastest growing companies in North America, with thousands of consultants throughout Canada and the United States. Tanya is also the mom of three school-aged children, and for 14 years has been happily married to her husband, Hadam Duchon, who now works alongside her as Steep Tea's CEO. She is a sought-after keynote speaker and a sales and marketing powerhouse. And Tanya, I am thrilled to get to spend some time with you today. Thank you for being our guest on Women Don't Do That.
OMG. Well, I am thrilled to be with you. And as crazy it has been trying to get us together, I am really, really happy to be here. So thank you for that introduction.
I feel like I'm
having a hard time breathing just listening to all of that, because it's like, wow, did that all really happen?
It's been such a journey. I mean, doing the research and preparing for this interview, it's been fascinating reading your story. So I'm so excited that we get to share it with our audience. To prepare for this, I also spoke with one of your consultants.
Oh, good.
Melissa Tannehill here in Winnipeg, where I'm from. And I asked her what it's like to work with you. And she just went on and on about the connection she's been able to build with you. And she had so many good things to say about you. And I asked her, what would be one question that you would want to ask Tanya? You know, what do you really want me to ask her? And so she said, I'd love to hear how she stays motivated. So I'd like to begin there today. Please tell us, what motivates you to be your best self?
That is a great question, and one that is very easy for me to answer. And I think that Melissa's actually heard this before. I'm wondering if she thinks it might have changed. But the thing that motivates me every single morning is our consultants, our sophologists that we call them now, the people at work who motivate me. What motivated me right from the beginning, and the reason why I started it and made it into a direct selling company, because I was very familiar with direct sales and the impact it can have on people's lives, because it had an impact on mine. When I was in my early 20s, I sold for a direct selling company. It helped me earn, you know, an extra $1,000 a month, which helped pay for my rent, or I was at, you know, going to school at the time. So I loved the impact that it had on my life. And so in turn, I wanted to make Steep Tea available to have that same impact on other people's lives. And those who choose to take this opportunity and really run with it, and we've had so many in this company who are making six-figure incomes, that is what motivates me. I wouldn't be motivated if everything was failing and you know, they weren't making any money and they weren't happy. But because they're happy and they're motivated to do their business the best, that's what motivates me every morning. That's my responsibility, is to make them continue to be motivated. Because I'm not.
Well, Melissa is definitely happy. When I spoke to her, you know, she definitely was very positive about the experience of working with Steep Tea. And we're going to go back to some of the things she had to say about you a little later in our conversation. But as we've touched on, you've certainly had a remarkable journey with this company, and you have grown Steep Tea to annual sales, if my sources are correct, of more than $20 million. And when you consider that only 2% of women-owned businesses will ever break the million-dollar mark, that's exceptional.
Yeah, you know, I hear that stat a lot. Getting past the 1 million mark is hard, and I remember when we did that, when we hit 1 million. In fact, we were on Dragon's Den and we were at 1.3. That was what we quoted on the show. And, you know, we had an army behind us. It wasn't just, you know, Hadam and I and people at head office. It was an army of sipologists who were out there spreading the news of how great loose leaf tea tasted versus tea bags. So in this kind of industry, when you find the right people to take your passion and your message and go out there and talk about it, you can grow a business quite quickly. It's a networking. It's all about networking. It's all about who you talk to. It's all about how you share. And that is what our company is based on. So it didn't surprise me that we would get over the, you know, $1, $5, $10 million mark. But yeah, it's been a journey for sure. And do I feel like I've taken on too much sometimes? Absolutely. Absolutely. There comes a point in your life where it's so exhilarating and fun. And, you know, you have this sense of accomplishment, but sometimes you wonder at what cost, you know, mm-hmm. Like I have three children at home who I try to spend so much time with, and I don't, and as that mom guilt, you know, seeks to get into my head of, oh, you know, maybe you shouldn't be traveling so much, or, oh, maybe you should spend more time with the kids. I've been literally traveling for about 3 months straight. Every week I've been on the road. I was hired by Farm Credit Canada to do 10 speaking engagements across of all of Canada. And then because I had such exposure from that, I've been hired by now Seattle Canada, and then another women's organization just hired me. And it's just, I'm beginning to wonder if I should just slow down, because I'm missing a lot of things right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it's hard because there's so many opportunities, good opportunities, yeah. Right? And knowing what to say yes to, I'm sure
it's
that's
hard.
Difficult.
I know it's very hard. And I have three kids, right? So it's, mm-hmm. that makes it even more difficult, but I know that I'm a good mom. I do. And I know that I spend a lot of time with them. But there's been times when I've missed birthdays. And there's been times when I've had to miss special plays that they've done at school because I'm working or traveling. So I guess it's a balance. You got to try and find that balance in your head, most of all.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point and something that can connect with so many of our listeners. Even when you're not running a multi-million dollar company, you often feel like balancing the career you want to build with the, you know, the family that you're so in love with can just be such a challenge. And that mom guilt, I think, is very real, like you said, but it is so important to remember that what you're showing your kids and what you're modeling for their kids is also really powerful and impacting them in such a positive way. Yeah. And to be proud of what you've accomplished. You touched on Dragon's Den. And I'd love to ask you a little bit about that, because if anybody saw you on season 7 of Dragon's Den in 2012, you and Hadam blew it out of the water. You got 3 offers from 4 of the 5 dragons, and you walked away with a deal with 2 of the dragons. So could you share with us the work that went into that? How did you and your husband set yourselves up for success?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we made the decision that we were going to go to the auditions, I think we only had a couple of days to prepare for that part, but we, you know, what's funny is I don't remember what we did for the audition part. I think we were just, we had our story down pat. We had the passion and then the enthusiasm. We had a good story. I believe that one of the biggest reasons why we got through the audition was we had a great story. I was pregnant at the time. Mm-hmm. We were at $1.3 million in sales. We were a company that creates entrepreneurs. So it was almost like every box was checked off for them. So it didn't surprise me that we got through to the actual taping of Dragon's Den. Now that is when it kicked in. We're like, okay, we're going on the show now. So we had about a month to prepare. And one of the first things that we did, we spent like a whole weekend, if not, maybe it was one day, and we went back and we watched every single episode from the very beginning of
wow.
Dragon's Den,
wow.
and wrote down the questions that they like to watch or that they like to answer or ask, the answers that they liked, the answers that they didn't like. So we had that down pat, and there were a few performances that I really liked. You know, I remember there was this one girl on the Dragon's Den who was pitching her coffee shop. And she had this amazing background. And it looked like she was in a coffee shop. And I was like, that's brilliant. So we did the same thing. I said, I don't want the audience looking at this very industrial looking background of the stairs, and it's gray, it's kind of ugly. We're a tea party company. It's got to look pretty. So we came up with that backdrop, and then, so we got that all prepared. And then we went one step further and we created a tea for every single dragon that was customized for them. Another thing that they absolutely love, that I had noticed throughout the seasons. So we did that. And then, you know, more importantly, I mean, having all of that is great, but if you don't know your numbers, if you're not prepared for the hard questions, and they always do ask you hard questions, because that is only 5 minutes of an hour, maybe sometimes an hour and a half. I believe we were there for about an hour and a half. So they have a lot of hard questions for you. And if you're not ready and you're not prepared, those are the moments they show on television.
Yeah, your weakest moments.
Yeah. They love to show the weakest moments of your pitch. They edit it to how they want you to come across. And we had a very seamless interview for an hour and a half. There was nothing that they could put into that 5 minutes that was going to make us look bad. And they didn't want to make us look bad. We have 4 offers from the dragon, so it was kind of hard to make us look bad. But that's what happened. And we nailed it. Every question that they asked us, we had an answer for. Haddam's very financial focused. He's got the numbers in his head, operations, and I'm very sales and marketing focused. So we make a great team, and we knew. And that was one other thing I remember. He's like, don't interrupt me. If I'm talking about something and you think it's wrong, don't tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
On television.
And it was, guess, yeah.
Right? It was really hard for me to do that, because sometimes I was like, oh, maybe he did say something that wasn't, like, maybe it was a little off, but I couldn't say anything because I knew we're on television and that would look bad, right? So, and he, for the same as me, if I said something wrong that he thought was not right or could have been better, don't say anything. Like, so we were so hyper-focused, so prepared for this whole thing. You have to be. And it showed.
Yeah, it did. You really looked like a put together unified team. And I remember one of the dragons commenting on the fact that you actually seemed happily married, and he was so cynical and surprised by that. And I'm sure people can guess which dragon that was.
That was did
you and, yes. Did you and Haddam always know that you would eventually work together in this company? Was that part of the plan when you started off? Or tell us a little bit about how that came to be, because you do seem to be such a natural fit. I wonder if that, you know, surprised you that ended up happening, or did you think that would happen all along?
Oh, you know what? I did. I actually did think it would happen all along. From the very beginning, I knew that if I could get this business up and running, and I worked it by myself for 4 years before, 4 or 5 years before he joined, if I could get it to the sales of what a Subway franchise was, because that's what we owned as well. We owned 3 of them. If I could get it to that kind of sale, in sales, then yeah, I believe that he would join me. And, he did. And so it did get to that amount of sales. Unfortunately, what was also happening in the background that I didn't know about is that I was like really digging a big hole of debt for us as well. So in year 4, he gave me an ultimatum. He's like, listen, you're doing great. Your sales are amazing. He goes, but you're $60,000 in debt now because of your business. I was like, oh, because I wasn't watching the numbers. I was just like, sales, marketing, sales, right? But the money was flying out as fast as it was coming in. So that's when he gave me the ultimatum. We either shut this down or you hit $500,000 in sales by this time next year, and I'll sell off all the franchises and come work full time with you. And so that was a big goal, a goal that I was determined to meet. And we did. And that was what happened. He sold off all of our Subway franchises, had just finished his MBA at Rotman. And it's like he just walked into a business and was ready to rock and roll. And so, yeah, I always knew in the back of my head that it would happen. Whether it would have, I wasn't certain, but I was pretty hopeful.
Well, it's great to see how far you've come when you talk about those early years you know, there was real stress, because I think for some people looking at your story, it just seems like you hit it out of the park right from day one. Because I think sometimes people really romanticize being an entrepreneur and the idea of working for yourself, you know, being your own boss. But I'm sure you had to give up a lot too to get to where you are.
Yes, I talk about that a lot in my talks. Don't mistake passion for fantasy. I'm very passionate, but don't fantasize that this is all easy and that you're not going to have to work hard and that you're not going to do things that you don't like or that you're not good at, because you are. We've risked so much. You know, we have remortgaged our house 5 times to put the money back into the business. I mean, just going on Dragon's Den was a huge risk. It could have gone the other way and it would have been probably a disaster for us. But, you know, you have to be able to have a strong stomach when it comes to business, because it's not when you're going to get screwed, or not if you're going to get screwed, sorry, it's when you're going to get screwed. It's not, you know, Jim Treliving always said to us, he goes, listen, it's not when you are going to get, no, if you're going to get sued, it's when you're going to get sued. Like, it's just,
wow.
Yeah. And it's so true, because, and those are the things that people don't know. And the things that people don't talk about is that there are like a lot of challenges that keep you up at night, that cause, friction between you and your husband, especially if you're working with your husband. And you just have to be strong, and you have to draw lines, and you have to put boundaries up, but it's not always that easy. Now, on the flip side, being your own entrepreneur, of course, is exhilarating. You have control of your destiny, whether it goes one way or the other way, you can control it. And if it doesn't go the way that you hoped it would, and you know, we all hate the word failure. Failure makes you stronger. Failure makes you reflect and work harder on the next thing that you're going to do. Adam and I have had many failures in our life with Steep Tea and without, and even before Steep Tea. And you know what? Every failure that we have made, whether it was hiring the wrong person, whether it was making the wrong decision, whatever it was, we always learn so much from those mistakes that makes us even stronger. So don't be afraid of the failure. It sucks at the moment, but
I love that point. So try and teach that to my kids. My oldest son is 6 and a half, and I always try and tell him, like, you got to be comfortable with this. Whatever you're supposed to do in your life, living your best life, is going to require being comfortable with failure. So I try and give him that head start. I think that's such a good message, Tanya.
And I always say, one of my other favorite quotes is, get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because you're going to be uncomfortable.
Even just starting this podcast, there have been so many moments where I've said that to myself, like, just keep going, just be okay with it. I mentioned earlier that I was going to get back to my conversation with your Sipologist, Melissa.
Yes.
And she said about you, she said, Tanya has a passion for empowering women. That's what she's all about. She has made Steep Tea about more than the product. She brings people together and helps her consultants better themselves and do what they want to do with their businesses and their lives. Ugh.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And that's just summing it up. She had so much to say. What does empowering other women mean to you?
Just showing them, you know what? The one thing I think that they really like about me is that I'm very vulnerable. I don't sugarcoat things. I don't tell them that everything is always going to be, you know, butterflies and roses. I tell them that if you want a business, you're going to have to work at the business. This isn't a, you know, dabble in it. I expect to be paid, you know, a couple $1,000s a month. You got to put the effort in. And so I think that that's where the empowerment comes from, is always telling them, always encouraging them to just keep going. You're going to have a bad month, you know, maybe sales aren't as great as you had hoped it was going to be, but you know what? Don't let that discourage you. It happens. So I'm always encouraging them to just keep going. And, like, the bumps along the way, that's natural. Nobody in successful businesses have had a smooth sailing to the top. There's bumps along the way. It's a twisty road. And a lot of people just need that reminder because they don't get it. They don't understand that. They think that everything should just be so simple. Don't you find that people find that things should be so simple? Like, why isn't it this simple? I just want to make money. Why? Why isn't it simple? It's not. You got to work. So I think that's where they get the empowerment from, is that I don't tell them it's always going to be rosy. I says you're going to have some moments where it's not rosy and you might want to give up, but don't give up because things will turn around. If you want them to turn around, you will make them turn around. So don't give up. Some people take my advice. Some people don't. And that's okay. It's their choice.
I love that. That's such a good message. Thank you. We're getting close to the end, but one thing about you that's very clear is that you have this incredible gift to inspire those around you. Do you think that that's just a natural gift, or is that something you've worked at? Is that something you've found a way to develop?
That's a good question. So you, have you ever done the Enneagram, the Colby, the Wunderlich? Have you?
You've done the Enneagram? On the Enneagram, I am the challenger. I am the one who gets up in the restaurant and says the music is too loud. that sort of thing. I need to.
You are my husband.
Oh, okay.
Or an eight. I'm a seven, like high seven, which is like the right. I'm like the person who is like, no, I'm not detail oriented, but man, can I get a vision and I won't stop until that vision is closed and completed. And so I'm really high energy. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you. And
it's not obvious at all, Tanya.
Yeah, no.
Are you sure?
Yeah. So inspiration, I don't work at being inspiring. I think I think it's just my personality that I'm very optimistic. I am very optimistic. That is one quality of the seven. They're very optimistic. And when there isn't any optimism, we get quite down. We don't like bad news. We don't like people who aren't optimistic. So we're the complete opposite. So I would say that if I'm a highly optimistic person, that would also make me a highly inspiring person because people like optimism, right?
I love that you've chosen to pair that with the realism though too. You were saying, right? You maybe that's the side of yourself that you've developed more is sharing with people the positivity and what can happen, but also the reality of what
reality
requires. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, can you share with us one book that has changed your life?
There's been a few, but the one that I'm currently really into is Rachel Hollis. I love Rachel Hollis, right? I just picked up this one, Girl, Stop Apologizing. That's another really bad habit of mine. I'm always apologizing for everything. And you know what? Recently, Brené Brown has a new documentary on Netflix.
Yes.
Did you watch it?
The Call to Courage. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but I saw that it was on there and added to my list and got so excited because I've read all her books and seen her TED Talks. And I'm so thankful she's in the world.
It's so amazing. You're going to love it. My husband and I watched that. And he doesn't like those sort of things. It's just like, he doesn't have time for it. But he and I watched that. It was only an hour long and it was so inspiring. I love her. You know what I love about her? Well, obviously the whole thing about vulnerability is amazing, but she is a vulnerable person. She talks about, she swears. I love that she swears on television. She says,
yeah, me too. Yeah.
She says, I'm a lot, which I love, right? Because I'm a speaker and sometimes I say, a few times. And then I read books that say, speakers who say, it's just not very professional. And I'm like, boom, whatever. Brené Brown is like a sought after speaker. And she says, everything in her speeches. So I love her. She's so real.
It's great and so well researched and her message is so profound, simple.
So, those are my two top right there, Brené Brown and Rachel Hollis.
Okay, well, I have absolutely loved our conversation, Tanya. Like, it's just been so encouraging and informative and interesting and real. I've just loved it. So thank you.
Me too.
Thank you very much. If people want to connect with you more and with your delicious tea, which I'm drinking right now, I am enjoying the creme caramello.
Nice.
Where can they find you?
So they can go to sipology.com and they can either just, you know, purchase our tea off a website without having to get in contact with a sipologist, if that's how they prefer. It will eventually go into to a sipologist. She'll get the credit for it. Or you can go on there, find a sipologist, and they can help you, you know, have a tea bar, or you could do a kombucha class, or you can learn about matcha. There's just so many fun things that you can do.
Thank you again. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you, Miranda.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Women Don't Do That. We're excited to announce that we have partnered with Steep Tea for our first contest. Our Women Don't Do That listeners have a chance to win a prize valued at more than $60, which includes a Stay Calm oil and tea from Steep Tea's Heal Thyself collection, as well as Girl Stop Apologizing by Rachel Hollis, the book you just heard Tanya rave about. So here is how you enter to win. First, take a screenshot while listening to the podcast and post it on Instagram. Tag at Stephanie Mitten and at Miranda and three friends. If you don't have Instagram or if you want a bonus entry, go to the website, log in, and comment on your favorite blog post. Thanks again for listening. Next week is my interview with Jamie McCullum. She's a stay-at-home mom of three, advocate, and community builder. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.